For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bible this morning, if you have your Bible, and let me invite you to turn with me. We're going to use two texts, and this first text we'll use as a launching pad to our text, but we want to begin in Luke chapter 22. I want to revisit our theme for the year, Luke chapter 22. And thank you for coming. If you're visiting today, I should have mentioned, we just forget, but you're always welcome here. We're glad you're here. There are visitor cards in the pew. If you could fill out that visitor card and just leave it somewhere out in the foyer. Normally we'd drop it in the offering plate, which is already passed, but we'd sure like to have a record of your visit and get to know you better, and we're honored to have you here on this Labor Day weekend. I thought about preaching around that theme of Labor Day, but I just felt led to go here today, and I think the Lord will help us in this. But Luke chapter 22, back in January, I preached a passage from this passage. Thomas, good to see you here today. God bless you. Please talk to Coach Brown this week while you're up there. Encourage him a little bit. Luke chapter 22, amen. Do you have any influence at all? Help. I think we have a football team up there this year. But verse 31, Luke chapter 20. If you're there, say amen. 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 And the Lord said, Simon, he was speaking to Simon Peter, of course. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, certainly, if Satan desired to sift Simon Peter, he would desire to do the same to you and me. And he said in verse 32, but I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus prays for us? He prayed for Peter. And he continues to pray for us as our advocate, our mediator, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, as we speak, Hebrews 7:25. I prayed for thee, he said, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He says, Peter, when you get where you need to be spiritually, when you get right with God, when you get converted and you're back to your consecrated position where I want you to be in the will of God, right with me, clean in your soul and heart and mind, he said, when you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter would do that, wouldn't he? Yes. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock or the rooster shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt deny me, or thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. But I want to direct your attention up here. Peter, of course, would deny the Lord thrice. And later, Jesus would find him after his resurrection by the Sea of Galilee, and he would have an opportunity to be restored and rededicate his life to Christ. And he did, thankfully. God greatly used him. Aren't you glad we have a second chance, Lord? And he gives a second chance. He's the God of the second chance. And he knew how Peter would react and when pressure came. But he said, Peter, when thou art converted, after all of this, when you get right with me, I'm going to use you. And he just encouraged him, and he said, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. I think now more than ever, you and I need to do the same. People need strengthened, don't they?
You know, I'm hoping and praying that we have COVID in the rearview mirror. And it's just like a little germ that just, you know, walks about seeking who it might land on, you know. And it just doesn't seem like it wants to go away. But we've figured that out, haven't we? Or best we can. And we know it's here to stay and all of that. But I think we put that in the rearview mirror. But it's been a difficult couple of years. No doubt about that. Many of you have had other difficulties. Many of you have had financial setbacks and death in the family and divorce and children that are prodigal and just a lot of problems, a lot of problems. Somebody said, be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. Eddie Goddard used to tell me, he'd say, Brother Rick, we'd be out eating somewhere and he'd always leave a big tip, man. I mean, he'd leave 2% if they weren't any good at all. And y'all not even here today, are you? Man. No, he'd always tip well. And sometimes we'd get a waitress that was terrible and rude and just one time I had a waitress come and she came and picked up my plate and she said, y'all want any dessert? And I said, I believe it will. And she turned the plate upside down and just dumped my fork out on the table so I'd have a fork to eat it with. She'd had a bad week, you know. But anyway, some Methodists had been there before us eating and I'm kidding. Probably a bunch of Baptists, but they tell me Baptists are terrible tippers, but I don't know. How many of you worked as waitresses? Yeah, is that true? Yeah. But anyway, Eddie would always say, he said, Brother Rick, you don't know what that waitress is going through. He'd always tell me that. He said, you don't know what she's going through. She's probably a single mom trying to put her kids through school and everything like that, trying to pay the rent. And she's probably having a hard time and she's probably working two jobs. Let's give her twice the tip. And I'd say, all right, Eddie, you know. And he said, make sure you leave a track. And if you're not going to leave a tip, don't leave a track. And be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. How are you going to tell somebody about heaven and Jesus if you're a jerk, you know? I mean, how are we going to help people? How are we going to help love people to Christ if we're not living that in our lives? I think we all need to be filled with the Spirit, don't we? And sometimes we're filled with other spirits, you know. But he said, Peter, he said, when you're converted, when you're returned again, when you're where you need to be, he said, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. What others are going through right now is maybe what you may be going through next. Strengthen the brethren. Strengthen the brethren. I think these last 2 years and 3 years have been a time where the church, I believe, has strengthened. The church has strengthened each other. We've encouraged each other. We've relied on each other. Of course, the Lord. We've borne one another's burdens, so fulfilled the law of Christ. And so there's always problems. Look in Matthew chapter 25. This is my text this morning. I wanted to use this just as a launching pad, but look over Matthew 25. These are the Gospels, easy to find. And I want to give you Matthew chapter 20, and I'll give you the message. But Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Jesus here is preaching. We see the words of Jesus in red. And in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And this is what Jesus said. Verse 35, for I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? Or when did we see you thirsty and give thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, verse 38, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Heavenly Father, add your blessing, we pray, upon thy holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to give you the setting here of this passage. This is really not what I'm preaching on, but I do want to give it in context. And I think, though, what Jesus told these is something that's eternal, though. I think what I'm going to share with you, I think God would be pleased for us to practice this always. But I do want to give it to you in context. And I don't often do this, but I want to lift it out topically and take it out of context for the message today. You say, what is the setting here? Jesus here is giving his message. It's a prophetic message. He's given the parable of the 10 virgins in chapter 25, the first part, the parable of the talents. And now he says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels. By the way, Matthew 24 is prophetic. Much of it is speaking of the tribulation period. Now Matthew chapter 25, he says in verse 31, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now sometimes people will take this passage and use it to prove what they call a general resurrection. The sheep and the goats. That's in the Bible, but I want to give you the understanding of it, and then we'll move on with the message. And he says, and all the holy angels with him, and all before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now stay with me. Look at verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Jesus here is speaking about his second coming to the earth. When he comes in Zechariah chapter 14, and he comes at the battle of Armageddon, he destroys the Antichrist. We're coming back with him at the end of the seven-year tribulation, and we come back at his second coming to the earth. And he comes to the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14. His feet come down upon the Mount of Olives, and the mountain parts. The scripture says he walks across the Valley of Kidron. He walks through the eastern gate of the old city of Jerusalem, and he sits down upon the throne of his father David and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. And so those who come through the tribulation period, the saved of the tribulation period will enter into that kingdom. The unsaved dead will be judged at the end of those 1,000 years. That's not my message, but I do want to mention that today. But Jesus here, this Matthew chapter 25, the sheep and the goats, he's judging the Gentile nations and how they treated the least of these, his brethren. How did they treat the saved of the tribulation period? How did they treat the Jewish brethren? How did they treat the least of these, his brethren? And so he sets them aside, the sheep and the goats. They've not been part of the rapture. And so they're living here at the beginning, at the end of the tribulation period, and the beginning of the millennium, and Jesus judges the Gentile nations. And so when he says the sheep and the goats, he's not talking about us. He's talking about those that are living there at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. And so I think that's good for us to know that, don't you? And that's not my message, but let me just say this as part of the message. Be ready when Jesus comes. Be ready when the trumpet sounds. It could happen even today. And you and I are not going to be a part of the tribulation period. Thank God for that. And he said that God has not called us to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5. And Revelation 4 to Revelation 19, the church is always in heaven, not on the earth. So we're not going through that time of tribulation. Now, we'll have tribulation here, but we're not going through the tribulation period. We'll be snatched out. The saved will be snatched out. Jesus will come for his bride. Who makes up his bride? Those that are saved by the grace of God. And so he says here in Matthew chapter 25, having said all of that, he said, then shall the king say unto them, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison. And they said, Lord, when did we do that? He said, when you did this unto my brethren, when you did this unto the brethren, the least of these my brethren, he said, you did it unto me. You say, preacher, I'll never preach a sermon. Yeah, but you can help the sick. You can strengthen thy brethren. You say, preacher, I don't have much money. I can't clothe people. But you can do something. You say, preacher, I can't get up and sing a song like these ladies did today in the choir and all this special music. Yeah, but you can feed somebody. You can help the thirsty. You can clothe the naked. You can visit the sick. You can help the fatherless. You see where I'm going? You say, I don't know a lot of the Bible. I'd never remember all that you said already in the sermon today. Yeah, but you can study the Bible. You can do something. Like I said last week, you can see an opening in the storm and make for the creek bank. Say amen right there. I just want to give you a very simple message today. That's the only kind of message that I know are simple messages. And hopefully I can find my message. I do have some notes around here somewhere. And so strengthen thy brethren. He mentions here six different groups. Here we are in the beginning of September, and I think God's helped us to practice this great theme this year. And I hope it's become a way of life for you to strengthen thy brethren. It may be a card that you sent somebody that's discouraged. It may be a phone call. It might be a text or an email. I know there are those that are still a little bit apprehensive about visiting people, not wanting to spread things into the homes, especially those that are shut in and such. But there are ways that we can strengthen thy brethren. He gives us six groups here. Let's look at them quickly today. First of all, he said, the hungry. Then he says, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, those in prison. This week, a few of us, I wish all of us could have gone, but I know some here in our church here this morning, they're here this morning, the Hindles and the Barnetts, and maybe others have had flooding, maybe not to the degree that we'll be showing you on our screen today, but you've had a hard time. It's been hard. God, help us to strengthen them, encourage them, and help them where they need help and offer help where we can. But Friday, Pastor Grant, Pastor Seth, and myself, and Brother Raymond, we thank God for Raymond and his family. And so we took 100 chairs. We'd mentioned that last week. We took 100 of our padded chairs down to Eastern Kentucky and to some brethren there. I thought about this all day. I thought, and Brother Raymond has a horse trailer, and we put those, you can put chairs in a horse trailer. Do you know that? y'all not in a good mood at all today, are you? I'm going to help you smile sometime today. But anyway, we loaded up and headed down there. I thought I was in a Ford truck for about 30 miles, and then the transmission started giving, and I said, what kind? He said, it's a Dodge. And I said, well, makes sense. But anyway, but we made it down and back. Amen. But we took those 100 padded stacked chairs and a couple of $1,000 out of our benevolence fund that you'd vote on last week. And we want to take a greater offering down the road. But I wanted to share some pictures with you today. And I thought about this all day. And once we got down there, we saw this is just one slice of the thousands of people that just were devastated with the flooding of July 28th in that part of the country over in those mountains. On this one road, four churches were affected by the floods, and businesses and all of that. Even after 5 weeks, there were still mounds and big piles of trash and all of this everywhere. And but we went down to an old friend of mine, Pastor Bill Jones, who grew up in Roane County, went to Spencer High School, has spent his entire ministry since the mid-80s after he graduated from Tennessee Temple, took the Letcher Independent Baptist Church as their pastor and has stayed there. God has used him in a tremendous way there all these years. Now they've lost everything. And the frame of the building is standing, but it may have to come down. But I just wanted to share just a few of the pictures that we snapped while we were there. This is the front of the building. This was added after Bill became pastor back in the mid-80s. And this is Letcher Independent Baptist Church. The water was up midway onto those windows there. And there's the church sign. That whole bottom there was covered with water. Much of that sign was covered with water. You can see on the side of the building there, that type of block absorbs, you know, water and stuff. And you can see, pretty much see the water line up on the side of the building. That's Pastor Bill there. And if you look closely on that door, you can see the water line. It's about halfway, two-thirds of the way up on the door there. And just really a bad flood. There you see the metal part of the building, the water just, the damage just beating against that building. And the water opened it up back there in the corner, and water rushed in from the outside and filled the auditorium with water. There's the little creek. It's hard to believe these little creeks will come up that much, but they will. That's right behind the church. There's Pastor Bill. You see behind him, there's a block building that they'd laid up there, and it was just completely taken out. That bridge had stuff all up against it still, had some logs laying in against it. There you can see it just peeled up the blacktop. That building in the back there, you can see the water line if you look real close. There was an 85-year-old woman spent the night sitting on the back of a toilet bowl, scared to death with water up around her waist, and prayed all night, and finally they rescued her. That water was all over the highway and that whole intersection. There, about where his finger, just above his fingers, was the water line. They're just looking in the building. They're just mud, full of mold. You can't even put your head in there now. Floated pews out into the foyer there. The inside of the building's a total loss. It's just a total loss. Everything will have to be taken out. I don't know. They may be able to hold the framework up and do something with it. But so they cleaned out their fellowship hall, which was also flooded, and painted it. And they've been meeting in here on hard chairs, and so we took some of our chairs down. And there's Pastor Bill there and one of his men, Brother Rocky, on the right. And so they're meeting in their fellowship hall. And so they're meeting one service a week on Sunday morning, and that's about all they can do right now. And so appreciate these guys going down with me. I wish all of you could have been there. Our eye affects our heart, Lamentation says. But thank you for helping with that. And like I say, that's just a microcosm of people that have trouble. Everybody's having trouble, aren't they? And Jesus here gave us six groups. First of all, I want you to notice those who need food. You know, in a practical way, in America, I don't know in America why anybody would go hungry, but people do. There are people right here in our own county that are without food and without help. But Jesus said here in verse 35, "For I was a hungered and you gave me meat." Now, they didn't give it to Jesus, but he said, if you do it in my name, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, if you give a biscuit, if you give someone some physical food, he said, look, blessed is he that considers the poor. You know what Jesus said? He said, the poor you always have with you. You always have the poor. Now they're poor because maybe they made poor decisions, or their parents made poor decisions, or it was just their lot in life, or maybe it's a generational thing and they've never been trained how to handle their money. I don't know why they're poor, but Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. Food. I thank God for the ministry. And it's not a large ministry that we have, but just this last week on Thursday, we were able to give food to 43 families, Brother Gary said. That's 43 families that will have something to eat this week. Say amen. The poor you always have with you. Blessed is he that considers the poor. God will take care and bless the Christian. He'll bless the church. He'll bless the nation. Why has God blessed America in such a way? It's because America has had a great heart, and America has been a Christian nation, and we practice this of feeding the poor and feeding the hungry and feeding those that need help. Years ago, our bus kids were coming into church on Wednesday night, and they were hungry. Many of them were hungry, and Brother Tim said, man, we've got to do something about that. And thank God we started our grilled cheese, Wednesday night grilled cheese ministry. It's one of my favorite ministries. Amen. I always have a great meal. Cindy always takes care of that. But sometimes, man, I come in, I've got to go back to the kitchen. I'm getting ready to run a bus route on Wednesday night and at least have half of a grilled cheese sandwich right off the grill Debbie makes. Say amen. You know what? Sometimes we take that for granted, don't we? It's not a matter of what we'll eat today. It's a matter of when we'll eat today. It's a matter of our decision what we'll eat. And I mean, we can open our cupboards, we can open our freezers, we can open our refrigerators, and they're all full. I mean, even those that have the lowest amount of salary here in this room here today, and those listening by way of live stream, even those that are the poorest here, if you didn't eat today, it's because you didn't choose to eat. Aren't we a blessed people? But you know what? There are those who need food. And more than that, there are people that need spiritual food, but many times people will not listen to the spiritual message of Jesus if their bellies are growling. Secondly, Jesus said, the thirsty. Notice in verse 35, he said, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was thirsty. I think of the spiritual thirst of mankind. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to thirst literally. He said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 27, he said, I was hunger and thirst. He said, I was beaten with stripes three times. And he said, I was shipwrecked. I was beaten up. I was left for dead. All of that. He said, I was stoned and all of that. And he said, I knew what hunger and thirst was all about. But I think of those that are thirsting spiritually. In Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah said, he said, ho, everyone that thirsteth can come to the water. Everyone that thirsteth can come to the water. In Psalm 42 verse 1, the psalmist said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. In Psalm 63 and verse 1, the psalmist said this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He's speaking about spiritual water. I believe that America today is thirsting for something greater than money. They're thirsting more than just for water, more than just for food, more than just for fame, more than just for fortune. They're thirsting for the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. I think here not only is he speaking about food for the physical, but he's speaking about the famished that are in need of spiritual water. Some are spiritually parched today without water. Psalm 42 verse 2, David said, my soul thirsteth for God. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, literally, I'll bless you for it. But oh, how we need to give the living water out while we're giving the real water out. That's one thing our men try to do is we feed the hungry here, literally feed the hungry. We try to feed their souls that are thirsting and longing for the truth. Then Jesus mentioned the stranger. Not only are there the famished out there, not only are there those the physically that need food, but there are the friendless out there who need fellowship. Look in verse 35. He said, I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. A stranger. You know, the Bible in the book of Ephesians describes us before we got saved as strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. We were outside of the family of God. We were strangers and pilgrims. But now we're not. There are those that are strangers. They're friendless. They're out there. The lonely are out there. The lonely. You know, there are lonely people that are in this room here this morning. You say, preacher, we've got hundreds of people here. Yes, but there are people that are sitting here that are lonely. They're looking for a friend. And maybe some are here that are looking for a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend of sinners named Jesus. Jesus said, you find the stranger and you help him. You're a friend of mine. Amen. You know, there are lonely people in Ripley, West Virginia. There are lonely people at the nursing homes. There are lonely people that are your neighbors. There are lonely people that are at school, young people. There are lonely people at school. Why don't you find that young person, find that little girl, that little boy, that young man that others are picking on and bullying. You be their friend. Find them in the cafeteria. Find them on the ball field. Find them on the bus and encourage them. Look for the lonely. Look for the lonely on the streets and lanes of the city. Look for the lonely at the hospitals. Over the years, I found a lot of lonely people at the hospitals. Maybe with their only known friend is lying there getting ready to go to heaven or hell or getting ready to leave this earth. You'll find them in the edge over here in the corner of a waiting room at the hospital or a nursing home crying their hearts out because the best friend they've got on earth is about to leave them. Maybe a mom or a dad, a brother or sister. Find the lonely and love them to Jesus Christ. Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. Look for the lonely. Look for the unloved. Look for the unlovely. Look for the unlikely to be loved. Luke chapter 14. I love Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and we see the parable of the great supper. And the servant said, the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He said unto you, and he said, the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And he said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. And look who he said to bring in. He said, bring in hither the poor. He said, fill it up with the poor. Fill your churches with the poor. Fill them with the maimed. Fill it with the halt. Fill them with the blind. And the servant said, Lord, we've done as thou hast commanded, yet there's room. He said, go out in the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He said, go out in the streets and lanes of the city and the highways and hedges. And he said, compel them. Compel them. He said, fill my house up. He said, they may not have anything they can give, but oh, you've got a lot you can give them. Amen. That's what he's saying. Jesus said, if you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but Jesus isn't here anymore. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his tongue. We're his eyes. We're his messenger. We're his ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The friendless, the unloved, the unlovely, the unlikely to be loved. They're out on the streets. They're under the bridge. You say, well, they made some dumb decisions. Yeah, but so have we. Strengthen thy brethren. Jesus said, find the friendless stranger. Jesus said, find the famished thirsty. Jesus said, find some food for the hungry. But notice there, he said, I was naked. Look in verse 36, and you clothed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Those that just need physical help. They just need physical help. James is a very practical book of the Bible. James said in verse 14 of chapter 2, he said, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Can that kind of faith save him?" And he said in verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked," Jesus mentioned the naked here, "and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" What doth it profit? Now you know me, and you know our church. Our main thrust is to get the gospel out. But we're hypocritical if people come and they come for help, and we're able to help them. You know, the Bible says if somebody needs a coat and you've got two, give them one. And he said, if you just say to them, "God bless you, brother. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, bless old Joe here. God help him. Lord, he needs a new hunting coat this year. Needs a new shotgun." No, I'm kidding. But the Lord, bless him. Help him. Lord, he's cold. He doesn't have a coat. And Lord, I pray somebody will give him a coat. And then I stopped praying. I said, "Well, God bless you, buddy. You have a good day." We push him out the door. That's what James is saying there. That kind of faith's not going to get it done. That kind of faith's not going to get it done. I mean, I feel so convicted. I mean, I look in my closets. I look in my garage. God's been good to me. God's been good to all of us. I'm not trying to make us feel guilty, but I'm just trying to redirect us and refocus us on that which Jesus said we ought to be doing. He mentions those that are naked. And he said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. He said, look, if your faith doesn't produce something, it's a dead faith. Those are the marks of a dead faith. We don't do those things to go to heaven. We do those things because we are going to heaven. We're ambassadors for Christ. Look at the fifth group. He said, I was naked and you clothed me. He said, I was sick and you visited me. I was sick and you visited me. Verse 36. Many are hurting physically. I heard said years ago, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. I think the best thing that Job's friends did was that they visited him. That was the best thing. I almost preached a message not long ago on what good came out of the miserable comforters. Job called those friends miserable comforters. And the best thing they did was they came. They sat down in the ash heap with him. They visited him. They were there with him. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. He said, if you've done that unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Sometimes we want to tell everybody all of our experience. You know, sometimes it's just best to listen. Sometimes we want to give our advice like Eliphaz did and the others that were Job's so-called friends. I'm sure Job was encouraged when they came, but I think he was more encouraged when they left. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. They came, they were there, they spent time, and it may be that was really all Job really needed at the time. Many are hurting. One of the hardest things about COVID, I think, was that when folks were in the hospital, even families couldn't visit them. I remember standing in the window at Roan General Hospital, standing outside in the window, and some of you did the same thing with your loved ones, and Fred Sarver over there in the bed, and just wave at him. It's crazy. I was sick and you visited me. Now I know when people are sick, sometimes we don't want visits. But I'm just simply saying being there, making a call, sending a card, letting them know you're thinking about them. And notice this. Not only does he mention the sick, I'm talking about the failing, those that are failing health. Finally, Jesus said this, I was in prison. Look in verse 36, Matthew chapter 25, and you came unto me. I was in prison. He was speaking about how they treated the brethren. He was talking about how they treated them, and much of the basis of his judgment would be based upon these things. I think there are three groups there that the prison represents. First of all, the fearful. You know, we can help people replace their fear with faith in God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, John mentions that. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. I think worry has torment. I think stress has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The Bible says God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. I think of those in prison, not only literally in prison, but those that are not behind bars, but those that are behind bars of their own making. They're in prison to worry. They're in prison to fear. They're in prison to disease. They're in prison to depression. They're in prison. And we can help them to replace that fear with faith. But I think the prison not only represents the fearful, but it represents the fallen. Fallen. The Bible says this. It says, consider thyself. He says, when someone is fallen, he says, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest when thou art tempted. In other words, he said, you could be there also. That word restore means to set a broken arm. We want to kick them out. God says, restore them. That's what God did for Peter. Then he mentions, I think this is another group that I think represents the prison. Not all are behind bars. Some are fallen and need restoration. Some are fallen and need repentance. Some are fearful and need faith. But I think there are the forgotten. I think those that are forgotten, they feel like they're forgotten. But I want you to know this morning, those that are listening by way of live stream, those that are here this morning, you say, preacher, I feel like I've just been forgotten. I just feel like no one cares. I want you to know Jesus cares. I want you to know we care. I love Isaiah 49. In the book of Isaiah chapter 49, God was reassuring the people of Israel. And God said to the people of Israel in Isaiah 49 and verse 15, he says to Israel, and I think it would apply to us today. He says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God said to those that were fallen and those that felt like they were forgotten and those that were discouraged and those that needed help and needed someone to strengthen them. And God says, look to his people. He said, they may forget you, yet will I not forget you. He said, behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. God said to his people, I've written your name in the palms of my hands. I will not forget you. Oh, somebody needs to hear that today. They need to hear that from you. Strengthen thy brethren. I was in prison, and you came unto me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I didn't have a friend. But you can find a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus, the friend of sinners, came to this earth, born of a virgin, went to Calvary's cross 33 years later, and died on Calvary's tree, nailed there, shedding his blood for the sins of mankind. He said, I want to be your friend forever. I want to be your forever friend. And listen, When he died, he cried, "It is finished." The atonement for our sins was made that we could be reconciled to a holy God. We that are sinners in the sight of God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the atonement was made. The payment was made in full for the sins of mankind. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, he got up out of that tomb and he arose and walked this earth alive. And 40 days later went on to heaven, and where he lives forever at the right hand of God. And soon, I believe, he'll come for the church and rapture us out of here. That Savior loves you. There are people out there that are naked, they're destitute, they're in prison, they're in bondage, they're thirsty, they're hungry. Glad for everything, all the things that we announced today and this and that, and I'm glad for all of that. But the truth is, what they need, what we need is Jesus. That's what the world needs. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. Let's give him Jesus. Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. It's what God's put us here to do. Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. Find somebody this week that's thirsty. Find somebody this week that's naked. Find somebody this week that's a stranger. Find someone this week that needs a friend. Be a friend to them. Introduce them to your friend. Dr. Charles Keene always ends his letters by this statement. He says, "Thank you for being such a good friend to a good friend of mine." Capital F on the friend. Amen. Will you be a good friend to others? A friend of sinners.